This meeting of the Pacifica National Board will now come to order. We do have a quorum.
This is Zarina calling.
Hi, Zarina. Good.
I'm not going to be able to stay on. I'm going to call back.
Okay.
Okay, but I'm on right now.
All right. Thank you.
Samuel Kateka is here.
Oh, hi, Sam.
Hello.
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 Hi, Sam.
All right. So,
congratulations.
Thank you.
That's the new dad. If it's okay with people, I'd like to go directly to agenda item number 5, which is update on elections, mailing, and process, because Kenny Mostern is with us, and he has to leave in about 20 minutes or less. So I'd like to take advantage of his presence and have him talk to us.
So move.
Oh, yeah, this is it.
Buddy?
You guys, don't we need to call the roll on the stream?
We just, I'll call the roll again.
All right.
Dave?
Here.
Teresa?
Here.
Henry?
Here.
Marty?
Here.
Sam?
Here.
Sonali? Ray?
Yes.
Ambrose?
Here.
Miguel? Roger Manning here. Kalanji?
Here.
Sarv?
Here.
Julie? Not. Gerald?
Here.
Wendy?
Here.
Zarina?
Here.
Alice?
Here.
Carol? And William and Donna have told us they wouldn't be here.
Right. Thank you very much. Okay. So, Kenny and Dan, could you give us an update on the elections mailing and the process?
Okay. The first obvious thing that you want to know is that the mailing went out today, since this is the day when I most recently had been told by the mail house it was going out.
So
the answer is I got a call this afternoon from the mail house and it's going out tomorrow. I'm really sorry. I am very, very disturbed, and I've told everyone who I can tell that I'm really disturbed by that, and I'd be happy to go over all the reasons why it was delayed. At this point, there isn't really much I can do about it. They tell me it's going out tomorrow. I have no choice but to believe them.
You can stop them, though. Can we have a round on this?
Hey,
Madam Chair.
Just a moment, Sarv. Kenny, what else can you tell us? I understand that's an important issue, and I want to get back to it, but is there anything else that you need to let us know before we have some questions here?
Mari, this is Miguel. Can you identify who's speaking?
Yes, Kenny Mostern, our election supervisor, is with us on the call, and we've asked him for an update on the mailing. He's just told us that the mailings won't go out until tomorrow.
Okay, so that's good.
And so now, Kenny, I'm asking you if there's anything else that you want to tell us before we launch.
Well, I am hoping, I put out, a dozen or more pages of written stuff last week, and I'm hoping to take questions from you. That's my primary reason for being here.
Okay.
The other things that I will say are just that we have 5 weeks now until the election date. We have a system in process in place for replacement ballots, which means that anyone who has not received their ballot by the 12th, I am going to be sending out replacement ballots immediately, so they have at least 2 weeks still with their ballots before the closing date of the election. And I guess there right now my box is just filling up with fair campaign provision violations, and I don't think I want to talk at length about that, but if anyone knows of any violations going on or wants to talk about that process, I can do that as well.
All right, let's go back to the issue of the timing of the mailing. And
Marty?
Yes?
Before you do, I just would like to say, as Secretary of the Coordinating Committee, we will have a motion, but the sentiment of that committee was that we wanted to absolutely thank Kenny for his effort. And note that we appreciate how difficult a job he's doing and how many demands there are to get this done. And so that was one of the things that came out of that call that we very much want to emphasize, and I think it'll be part of a motion when we get to it, but I thought it was worth saying before we started.
Okay, thank you, Dave.
Okay, are we taking a... Gerald would like to speak.
Who would like to speak?
Gerald.
All right, Gerald.
Alice.
Alice. Go ahead, Gerald.
Okay. Yes, very happy to have you, Mr. Kenny Mosman. Okay. Look, we had a talk about this in Berkeley. Actually, there was a lot of discussion of this. And we were under the impression, Nicole had told me that, well, he's going to send it this morning. Well, since you didn't send it, it looks like we can actually talk about something worthwhile. You see, we think that it's actually very short-sighted, penny-wise, pound-foolish, to send it third class for the following reasons. Now, you said, we know that generally when you send third class mail, if the person doesn't receive it, you don't get a, you know, they don't mail it back. They don't return it to sender. And therefore, I was just wondering, yes, I would like you to explain what kind of, well, they call it third class or whatever you want to call it. What type of mailing program are you using that will bring the change of addresses back to you? I also think that in those cases, see, you should think twice, because at least we know for a fact if you send first class mail, doesn't get to the address or somebody's moved, bam, comes back to them. I myself, since we've already superseded the bylaws and changed the date,
right,
I would rather we go on and send it first class and not have the headache. Man, can you imagine the headache you're going to have trying to keep up with all of those lost ballots?
There's not going to be any headache at all. There's going to be a bunch of people who call me on an 800 telephone number and request a replacement, and I will cancel out their PIN and send a replacement. That's the difference between this year and last year is that canceling out PINs on ballots that had been sent, and so the election supervisor couldn't send out replacements. There were about 500 requests for replacements. It will cost about $3,000 for me to fill those There were about 500 request replacements.
Right.
It cost about $3,000 for me to send those replacements.
Okay.
As for the return mail issue, what you said is not correct. All you have to do is put under the INDISA on your envelope, return service requested, and the post office will, in fact, return every single thing that is not delivered. It will cost full, the INDISA will be charged the full price for first-class mail for every return service that they do. So if there's 1,000 or so returned, the foundation will be charged probably $1 or $1.25. Returned, but everything will be returned, and we will be able to record every changed address.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. Alice.
Yes. Kenny, thank you so much for your work. I know this is an enormous job, and I hope it gets easier every year for whoever the National Election Supervisor is. My question for you is, could you tell us what procedures have been in place to notify producers at the different stations of what a violation of the election procedures is or are?
Okay. The fair campaign provisions were promulgated in the middle of July and were distributed to all staff members, producers included, at all of the radio stations by the local election supervisors. It was the very first thing that people did in late July as going. Now, of course, every station has really, really different circumstances in terms of even sort of the accuracy of the record keeping and the ability to find on-air staff and on-air producers. And so there were different problems station by station, and for many detailed questions about who did and who didn't get the fair campaign provisions when, I would need the local election supervisors on here to answer those. But I will tell you that the bylaws state that all staff members are supposed to return signed copies of the fair campaign provisions, and that I know as a fact that at some stations as many as 40% did not. And there was, it's, as I said, the issues are literally station by station in terms of who got the paperwork when and how able we were to get it back.
Right. If a producer at a station did not receive, how do we know whether they received it if they did not, send back a signed statement?
In all cases, the local election supervisor should know the answer to that question. I do not know the answer to that in all cases. But in any specific case that you want to know, if we had a producer who said, I never got it, I would speak to that person and I would speak to the local election supervisor and figure out what happened.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question about, this is Samuel Katega. How do we mute on this phone call?
*6.
*6. And then to unmute it, *6 again?
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other questions for Kenny?
This is Ray. I have a small question.
Go ahead, Ray.
If somebody's calling and telling you that they have not received the ballot, how do you verify the authenticity of the caller?
I'm sorry?
How do you verify that you're speaking to the person, you know, whose name you just heard?
That's a very interesting question. I suppose that it would be possible for someone to call in fraudulently and ask for a replacement ballot for someone else. What I would say is there wouldn't be any consequences if they were to do so because I would, you know, cancel out one pin, send them a new ballot, and they'd still be able to get their new ballot in. The one thing I will say about that is you'd have to have a lot of information about the person in order to do this. Is you'd have to know their home address. And you'd have to know, how they qualified as a member of the foundation. I have all of that information in my database, and I would not give that to the caller. I would wait for the caller to repeat all of that to me before filling in a request for a replacement ballot.
Yeah, well, I'm glad because I know of at least one case, a friend of mine who voted the last time and then went on vacation. If we use the scenario the way you described it, when you sent her the replacement ballot, she wouldn't have been around to receive it and vote. So. I'm
right.
Glad you have ways to confirm, you know.
Right. Certainly the caller is required to give their name and correct address as it appears in the database. And I will also ask the question, now that you've said this to me, I will also ask the question, and how did you qualify as a member, as in how much money did you give or how many hours did you volunteer, et cetera. I will ask that question since I have all that information in my database.
Yeah, we just said it on a national conference call on streaming on the Internet, so good idea.
All right.
So do your homework, folks.
Well, actually, I asked the question because I thought there was an answer based on experience.
Are there any other questions? For
This is Sarv.
Go ahead, Sarv.
Kenny, first of all, I want to thank you for all your effort. The question that I have is that you don't see any problem at all in meeting the deadlines in which we have to seat our LSBs. You think everything will be taken care of, right?
Everything will be counted within 1 week. That I am completely certain of. Whether I will be able to finish writing the memo that says, you know, the election is hereby certified for the following reasons is going to be a little bit cagey. I will do everything in my power to get back to Berkeley on the 6th of December. What's happening? I know I've sent this out in a memo, but just to be specific with you now. The company True Ballot that produced the ballots will be going from city to city with their optical scanning machines, and there will be a public counting of the ballots. Everything will be scanned and then will be available on CD-ROMs for anyone who wants to take them home and look at and audit the ballots in any way they want. They'll just be scanned. True Ballot will move to the next city. I will also be moving with them from city to city because that way I will be able to be doing the STV counting, which they can't do directly on the spot at the same right after they finish the optical scanning. So I will be. That will all happen between November 30th and December 6th, if I'm remembering the dates correctly. And I know I've put them out in a memo. On the 7th, I'll be back in Berkeley, and I will finish that certification memo as quickly as I possibly can, and I am hoping that if anyone needs to meet, if anyone is actually having their December meeting before it is done, then I'll do a sort of quick and dirty version of it in time that they'll be able to certify the new members at their December meeting.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Ken.
Certainly.
This is Samuel Katek, and I have just a quick comment to make.
Go ahead.
I'm really disappointed that you, Kenny, had changed the bylaws and changed the rule to 2 weeks before reaching a quorum, and I just wanted to put it out there for the record that I don't agree with that decision and that I think that you did supersede the Pacifica bylaws and that that is your interpretation, but I'm not going to file a motion at this time just because it would be not a waste of time, but we have other business that we need to concern ourselves with. But I would hope that in the future that that would not occur again. And the fact of the matter is we had 1 year, 1 year to prepare for this election, and there should have been no excuses whatsoever. And that's my comment. I'm done.
Marty, this is Teresa. Can I say
something?
Go ahead,
Teresa.
I would like to apologize to you, Kenny, because we haven't had a year. We haven't been in office that long, and some of these procedures were tedious. And I, for one, know that when I was in Washington, D.C., I was working with people to get a survey added to the mailing, which would possibly and a solicitation for money, which would possibly pay for the additional costs of mailing. So I do appreciate some of the things that you've had to work with. In the future, when there is an issue that you think that the board might be concerned about, I hope that you feel welcome to talk to the chair of the board to run something by them, just so you can at least notify us in advance of some of the problems that you're having, so we can make sure we feel that we're on the same page and kind of not having the rug pulled out from underneath us.
Marty?
Thank you for your time.
Marty,
Ellis,
it's Ellis.
Go ahead.
Just wanted to hear a confirming statement, Kenny. The candidate statements are indeed sent out with the ballots tomorrow, right?
All of the candidate statements will be in the envelopes with the ballots, yes.
Excellent. Thank you.
Excellent.
And the surveys,
Marty.
Too, right?
I'm sorry?
The surveys, too?
You know, I am still waiting for confirmation from the mail house. On the very thickest booklets, we have printed the surveys, and they were supposed to go in, but on the very thickest booklets, which are the WBAI booklets, I actually have not heard definitely that they fit in the envelope, and I apologize for that. It is a question I should have asked when I was talking to AccuMail earlier today, and I did not. So my apologies. I am certain that on the thinner booklets, including WPFWs, which I know is the very smallest, KPFT, KPFA, I'm reasonably certain that they would have gotten in with no problems. But the combination of the very high number of candidates with the fact that I swear the average number of words in those statements is 499 means that the WBAI booklets are very, very thick, and it was actually not certain when I last asked this question whether the surveys were going to fit.
Kenny,
just a moment. Go ahead, Allison.
Sorry, just very briefly. Would you mind emailing us on the PNB when you find out whether the BAI surveys were mailed?
I certainly will.
Thank you.
Okay, who else wanted to talk?
That was Ray. I had a quick question for...
Okay, go ahead, Ray.
I believe that, is it correct that the request for funds that actually paid for the election, some of the costs of the local election at BAI, were part of that survey?
Yes, that is correct. The survey has on it a request for funds.
So that would be a serious consequence there.
Yeah, it's kind of important.
Yes, it is. Kenny, may I ask how much... If we had to pay for larger envelopes, how much would that include it for BAI?
Well, at this, there are many, many, many details to that question that I can't answer right now because I'm going to have to move on. in very short, at this point, we can't request larger anything because the mailing is stuffed. It's been on a machine for days. All the pieces have been stuffed into envelopes, and it's ready to go. I mean, there are probably still a few thousand pieces that still haven't come off the machines. However, having said that, moving backwards, the reason why even after the candidate statements were, even after we agreed to...
Hello?
That there was going to be a problem with the size of the envelope, we didn't change the size of the envelope, is first of all because a great many envelopes had already been printed with the Pacifica Indicia, with the return address information, et cetera, but second of all because we had bought a standard ballot size and format from True Ballot, and that took a particular kind of envelope and a particular envelope system. And it would take me a long time to describe the details, but if you will recall, the PNB requested a double-blind PIN system.
Right.
What we did is we bought a company's system that included a double-blind PIN system, and it had other consequences with it, such as the size of standard envelopes and the size of tear-off sheets. To change the envelope at the last minute would have required redesigning things dramatically in a way we were not prepared to do. So that's why we have this problem. Even at the last minute, as we were printing the WBAI candidate statements, I had no guarantees they were going to fit in the envelope.
Uh-huh. Could I just ask, Kenny, were you not informed that, you know, the size of the candidate statements are different at different stations, and that that survey, I'm not sure whether it was brought up to you, it may well not have, that surveys might have to be included.
The survey was never brought up with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, there may or may not be a long conversation to have about the candidate statements, but we're not going to have it right now. You know, I have said publicly what I have to say about it, and so have you. And at the end of the election, of course, in my final report, will be a variety of recommendations and comments, which will either be taken or not as you see fit.
Okay. I think you need to go, Kenny, and thank you very much for being here.
I'd just like to thank everyone for your tolerance of me and for allowing me to do this job. It's a difficult and challenging job, but it's also something that I'm really proud to be able to do as, you know, a longtime Pacifica listener, KPFA listener. And, thanks for what faith you have placed in me.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Kate.
Good night.
Good night.
Marty, just wanted to say hi. Sonali's here. I've been listening for a while.
Thanks for being here.
Hi, Sonali.
Yeah. Sorry I was a little late.
Is there anybody else who's joined us that we...
There's somebody who sounds as though they're about a year and a half old.
I know, it's very cute. I'm really enjoying them.
Ma'am, could you mute?
So cute.
Playing Mr. Mom today.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's how
Marty, I was just going to say maybe one way to get out of that, because this is going to happen again. These areas always have a huge amount of candidates. Maybe they can print the statements with a smaller font or something, you know, and actually put this.
And
that's
then
an idea.
Include a free magnifying glass.
And provide magnifying glass on the outside.
All right. Well, let's move on, folks. So let's go back up to agenda item number two. Unless you want to, do you want to bring forth the resolution, Dave? Or
well, I thought that we agreed that Dan would put that forth.
Well, so one of us has to make the motion, though.
Is now the proper time?
Time for it is a question.
Dan, are you there?
Yeah, hold on. Let me just find it.
I have it somewhere here. I have it, actually. Do people want me to read it, or you want to just go ahead and get it?
Go ahead, Roger.
Whereas the PNB recognizes the good faith effort of the election supervisors to conduct the election in a fair manner for all participants, consistent with a spirit and intent of the bylaws to ensure a fair election process for all concerned. Well, that's something. Did y'all get that?
Take a breath.
Yeah, that was some of the language I guess I recommended.
I'm sorry, let me start again. Whereas the PNB recognizes the good faith effort of the election supervisors to conduct the election in a fair manner for all participants consistent with the spirit and intent of the bylaws to ensure a fair election process for all concerned, whereas the PNB voted that the National Election Supervisor shall have full independent authority to supervise all aspects of the elections and to direct national and station management as necessary, as well as the local election supervisors to ensure that fair elections are conducted in compliance with the requirement of the bylaws. And wait a minute, where's the rest? Oh, here it is. The PNB amends the resolution with the following.
What resolution?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think the original resolution that we passed when we discussed...
The 12-part thing?
The 12-part elections review motion.
Okay. Any substantial changes from prior elections practice and procedure or any decision affecting the bylaws by National Election Supervisor shall be referred in advance to the PNB for review and, if deemed necessary, approval. You know something? I'm sorry. Dan, you might have to dig up what you have.
Whose resolution is this?
Out of the coordinating committee.
Why doesn't somebody from coordinating committee read it?
I am from the coordinating committee, and that's what I copied. Are you saying I'm incompetent, sir?
No, I'm not saying that. I just wanted to...
I'm going to look back to the original document where I found it.
Roger, that's correct. I think it was just kind of done off the top of our heads a little bit, and that's why it may sound a little bit disjointed. But it's essentially amending resolution number one in the sequence of election resolutions that was passed by this board, and I believe it was late June. And the amendment is simple. That just grants full independent authority to the National Election Supervisors to manage the elections process. And the amendment is that any substantial change from prior elections practice and procedure or any decision affecting the bylaws taken by the National Election Supervisor shall be referred in advance to the PNB for review and, if deemed necessary, approval. And all that is really saying is that, look, if there's going to be some major departures from what we've been doing in the past, give the PNB a heads up. If the PNB wants to seize itself of the matter and review the issue, then the PNB will have that opportunity. That's what it's basically saying.
If I may, Marty, this
yes.
is Roger. I'm a little confused because I thought part of the motion that we were going to have to deal with today, unfortunately Carol's not here, is to essentially retroactively address the action of the election supervisor because of the bylaws considerations. Am I making sense?
That was my understanding as well.
Madam Chair, could
well, that is not part of the resolution, so yes, Sarv.
Madam Chair, this is, you know, it's a little confusing to me, and I'm not opposing to giving, if there's a departure from bylaws or some serious thing that the elections coordinator is doing, that he should not come and ask the PNB for it. But I just don't get the drift here. It's kind of confusing here.
It doesn't seem
actively doing something, and then there's I don't know.
Madam Chair, this is Samuel Kateka.
Why didn't it get presented over to us beforehand? I don't understand it.
This was sent to you in advance.
I believe it was sent to us, Sam.
Yes, ma'am. I was wanting to know, can we move forward, because it seems as if people are not organized. We're thinking out loud, and it seems like we're wasting time here. So until people can get their thoughts together, their documents together, can we go on to the next agenda issue?
Madam Chair, I second this motion.
Okay.
Well,
right.
Marty,
if there's no objection, let's go back
there,
up.
I have an objection.
Oh, yes, Dave, what?
Yeah, I would like that we, at the end of this call, have a brief executive session to deal with this question, because as you recall, there were some issues that we felt we might need to talk about the bylaws issue, and that will clarify some other things, so we can dispense with it quickly there. But that's what I would prefer to do.
Well, I do not want to go into an executive session. We don't have it on our agenda, and I'd like to stick with what we've got here. So I not in favor of that. I certainly believe we could come back to this issue, though, at the end of the meeting.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
Ms. Alice, I don't see what the problem is. It seems to me pretty clear what it's saying. Dan explained a second time. So I seconded the motion. I suggest we vote on it.
Point of order, nobody actually made the motion.
Oh, it was not a motion. I stand corrected.
In fact, I was confused. I thought Alice was trying to second the motion to table.
Oh, no.
But then no motion has been made.
With your permission, I would like to return to this and go back to agenda item number 2.
Yes.
I believe we might move more expeditiously later on this issue. And we can go back to the resolution presented by the coordinating committee. I don't want to go into an executive session because it is not on the agenda, but we can certainly come back to this. I think that's right. Let's move on.
I understand your position. I believe that what Dave is trying to do is to answer South's consequence. Clearly, South, in spite of what Ali says, South is understanding the motion as stated, because there are some assumptions that we're not presenting. And I'm sure Dave is concerned that as we, the process of explanation, we don't just put something that should be in executive session.
Well, if we don't want to deal with it during this meeting, we can, there's a proposal to have an executive session, a special executive session later that we set at this meeting, and we can deal with it then. But I would like to move on and try to get back up to agenda item number 2, which is the approval of the minutes.
Move approval.
Thank you.
Is there any discussion or a second?
I second
that.
Any discussion on the minutes? Any questions or corrections? All right, is there any objection to passing those, approving both of those minutes, the minutes for 9/13/04 and for the October 1 through 4th PNB meeting in Maryland?
It's 1 through 3rd.
Well, sorry, 1 through...
Just seemed like longer.
Yeah. All right, thanks. I'm sorry, it was on the agenda. All right, thank you. Let's see, Sonali, I believe you're the spokesperson for the Special Personnel Committee.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Are you the spokesperson for the Special Personnel Committee?
Yeah, I guess I'm just the sort of the secretary.
Give us an update.
Okay, here we go. And I can email this to Roger. So the committee decided to have rotating chairs to facilitate the meeting since it was so small. I volunteered to be secretary. We've met 4 times so far. On the 12th, the 14th, the 19th, and the 21st of October, we, at the second meeting, met with Dr. John Vogelslang and discussed a report that he had created in response to concerns about his assessment, had a good discussion with him. And at this point, our next meeting is next Tuesday on October 26th, and I think we're making good progress. So I think that's about all I can report at a public meeting. So.
Okay.
Which committee was that?
This is the Special Personnel Committee that is an outgrowth of the Executive Review Committee. It was a follow-up committee on the Executive Review.
Marty, this is Dave.
And I believe, tell me if this is what you are. Is this committee... We had, the PNB had asked you to report back by November 1st.
Right. We're aware of that, yeah.
And
I think probably what we're going to have to do is...
We could set an executive session either a week from today, which is November 1st, or the board's pleasure. But I think we need to...
Yeah, I think that's exactly what the committee needs.
Okay, is there an objection to next Monday?
Election.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
I wonder if, and I'm on this committee, this is Alice, and I wonder what people think about the following. Because of the amount of work involved, I wonder if it would be okay to, like, have our committee email the PNB, the results of our committee, say, on Monday, and then have the meeting later, or
that
otherwise we should be, you know, it'll take several days longer to, I'm not speaking well, but I think I said what I need.
Okay, so you believe,
maybe
right.
A little later.
We should digest what you send us first.
Yeah, maybe put it off a little bit more.
We think next week is going to be, with the election on Tuesday and whatever aftermath on Wednesday.
Oh, right.
Oh, God.
Madam Chair?
Is anybody running?
Suggestion. Yes, Sarv.
In kind of general sort of a way, could the secretary of this committee tell us, without going into any specifics, what is the structure of what they're supposed to be doing?
No, that's executive session material.
How about,
unfortunately,
can
yeah.
You tell us, can you tell us anything in general terms
no.
that would not violate the confidentiality?
No.
Well, the motion that established this committee was done in executive session, so I think any discussion of what we did would involve discussion of the motion. It's, yeah, I mean...
Okay. All right.
I'm not sure. You know, I feel like my hands are tied, so I'm going to be really careful.
No
about, yeah.
Okay,
no
we
problem.
Need to decide when we can meet in an executive session.
Yeah, I think that would be useful.
Yes.
So we're about at the end.
I'm going to say that next week is going to be a poor time.
Uh-huh.
And that possibly the 8th.
Okay.
Excellent.
The 8th of November.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Going to work for people?
Yeah,
yes.
That's good.
All right.
Right on.
6 p.m. Pacific.
6 p.m. or 5 p.m.
Same time.
5 p.m. Pacific.
Same time as today.
Marty.
Yes.
Dave. I believe one of the members of the committee has resigned, and so do we need to elect a replacement from that signal area?
I don't know. I don't. What do people feel? So this committee was established with one person from each signal area, and now we no longer have anyone from PFW. Is that correct?
Right.
But is the decision final?
I think that's a good question. Maybe have we accepted the resignation?
I don't think we have a
choice.
We
don't have any choice. Maybe Marty could send the LSB a note saying that if decision is final, we urge you to name a president as soon as possible.
Marty,
could I?
Yeah.
It's the PNB that has to elect another member.
It's the PNB who chose them.
Yeah.
Could we ask the members from PFW for their feelings about the best way to proceed?
Well,
the LSB has not acted on this resignation.
Okay. The point I was trying to make, this is Ray, was that if we decide, unless there's some extreme urgency, I would like to decide with either the same individual back or the person replacing him being considered also as a possible choice.
I think this is Sarv, Marty.
Yes, Sarv.
I think that any member on the PNB is elected by the delegates from that area. And so they have to meet the delegates, and then they have to come up with whoever they want to send it over here.
Well,
Marty?
The question for the LSB is whether they're going to accept the resignation. And if, you know, if the person wants to resign, they pretty much have to accept the resignation. So I think what I would like to ask is if we could request that the representatives of WPFW could find out for sure that we've lost Mark, and if so, would people be comfortable in the delegates choosing their own people, or do we have to have
no,
an election?
Marty.
Dave?
The bylaws are pretty clear about who elects committee members on PNB committees. That's the PNB.
Exactly.
And I think that the way to handle it, since we won't be meeting again before the special meeting at which the committee's report is made, is to elect an alternate from WPFW, and in the event that Mark is not going to be participating as a board member, then the alternate takes his place.
Oh, excellent plan.
Has has Marty, have you confirmed it with Mark that he resigned?
As much as anybody has. He's
well, so
not taken back his resignation yet. So, but I think Dave's right. We've got to go forward. We've got to accept it on face value and choose an alternate. And, you know, it needs to be done somehow on this phone call, right? Or we need to decide how it's going to be done, that we will all send our ballots to somebody and that they'll be counted and that there'll be an alternate waiting in the wing.
If there's only one candidate, of course, then we don't. A balloting is not required.
Is Zarina still on the call?
No.
Yes, I am. I've just muted my phone.
So we can ask of the D.C. directors which would be interested in serving.
A point of order, Marty?
Yes.
Section 2 of Article 8, composition of board committees, say the board may designate one or more directors as alternate members of any committee. So we would be within the purview of the bylaws to hold an election for an alternate candidate, and I'd like to move that we solicit nominations for an alternate candidate for that committee and elect that person.
Okay, are there nominations?
You mean from any signal area?
No.
WPFW.
An alternate for PFW. And
just to replace Mr. Roberts.
But are the nominations open to the group here?
Well, not until we approve the motion, I don't think.
How many delegates do we have from Washington, D.C. In this meeting?
Three.
Everybody.
This is ready. The question I had, as I said, I guess David, by making his proposition, made a decision, is that we decided that for whatever reason, we're not including the person that's either replacing. Because if Mark decided not to come back and that other individual was replaced immediately, as I said, if there was no urgency, I would prefer to wait for that individual to be included. If we decide that this is too urgent, then I would go ahead. I would support that process.
Madam Chair?
We have to go ahead because we'll not meet again before the special executive meeting.
And Madam Chair, may I?
We need to have somebody there. Dave.
Yeah, and also, unless the local board has made a notice of a meeting to do that, with that on the agenda, I don't think they can have that election before the report of the group is due.
So I think there is a time consideration here, and we need to move forward.
Are we taking nominations?
Right. Nobody has seconded my motion.
I second Dave's motion.
All right, thank you. So nominations are open for PFW representative.
Madam Chair, point of order.
Vote on Dave's motion.
We haven't voted on the motion to do this.
Sorry, of course.
Without objection.
If there's no objection, could we proceed? Thank you. Are there any nominations for a representative from WPFW?
Alice?
Yes, Alice.
I'd like to nominate Kalonji.
Okay. Are there any further nominations?
I second that.
I'd like to nominate Ambrose.
I decline.
Okay.
I'd like to nominate Zarina.
No, I just second Kalonji.
I had a feeling that's what that meant.
Was sending. Okay, well.
Okay, we have a nominee. We have a case.
If there's no objection, could we just accept Kalonji onto the committee?
Yes.
Thank you.
This is Teresa. May I say something?
Yes, Teresa.
I would hope that some of the people in Washington, D.C., as well as other PNB members, would have contacted Mark and asked him to at least, you know, fill the term until the new LSB was seated. And I don't know whether anybody's asked.
Yeah, we have.
We've all done that, Teresa.
Okay, that's fine. If that's been explored, fine.
It seems pretty final.
Okay.
Okay, we've asked him, he's...
So, Wendy, if you could add Kalonji to our list, Kalonji will make sure we get all the minutes and information to you.
Thank you.
And
well,
the next meeting.
A lot of different email addresses, I think. Roger will send me Kalonji's current email address, right, Roger?
Sure.
Yeah. And thank you, Kalonji.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kalonji.
Kalonji.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay.
Forward, and thank you all. All right, so everybody, so Kalonji has joined the committee, and we will meet at 5 p.m. on Monday, November 8th.
Yes.
Okay.
In 8 p.m.
No, 5 p.m.
Our time.
5 p.m. Come your time, maybe.
Same time as tonight.
Time.
Same number.
Same number.
Okay.
And I'll be calling all of you. I'll be notifying you tonight.
Okay.
It's a 7-day notice. It's just a point of information. So, Chair, it's executive session to discuss personnel issues. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you.
Now, on to item number 4, progress of WBAI mediation, the impending resignation of the GM and appointment of an interim GM. Dan?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Well, first of all, I just want to congratulate WPFW, KPFK, and KPFA on an amazing season. WPFW passed the $500,000 mark for the first time in its history, a really thrilling
effort.
KPFK just finished their drive and went over the $1 million mark, coming in, I think, around $1,030,000.
$1,060,000.
$1,060,000, I
with
think,
the web
right?
pages.
In 12 days.
That's fantastic.
That's fantastic.
And also want to congratulate KPFA, who went over goal as well. All three stations over goal, coming in just short of $1 million. So that's a fantastic start to... the fundraising.
Of course. Could you please press star 6, whoever has some noise and coughing?
Nothing to get control.
Yeah, we don't want to be bothered by the sound of the ambulance.
Choking on good news here.
I also just want to report that the summer 04 Arbitrons are coming in. And again, Pacifica stations, we only have 3 in. As of this time, but again, Pacifica Station having a strong showing, including KPFK, WPFW, and WBAI, which in fact showed a 40% increase in their cumulative weekly audience, and now rank among the nation's top 10 public radio stations. So congratulations to everybody around Pacifica for all their work around fundraising, and of course it's always great to see Arbitron estimates, whatever the problems associated with them, though
Dan?
Consistently showing a increase in audience for all of our for the entire network, so that's
Dan?
Great.
Sorry to interrupt, Dan, it's Alice. I think that's great about the increased listenership at the AI. Do we have the increased membership too?
Madam Chair.
Alice, let's just let Dan give his
report,
please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Dan.
Last week, I believe it was last week or 2 weeks ago, I updated the PNB on the WBAI on matters associated with WBAI, specifically related to some of the resolutions that the BAI passed, that the PNB passed related to the station, including around fundraising issues, fiscal issues. Mediation is moving forward. I just talked today to the LSB chair and to the general manager to get an update from them. They had a successful meeting with the mediators, and they're working on next steps around the mediation. The evaluation survey forms are being sent out. I understand the paid staff forms have gone out, and that the unpaid staff forms are ready to go out pending the coming together of the LSB chair and the general manager. So that's working out well. I think you all received the Rogers report on the town hall meeting happening this weekend, which sounds like it was a great event. So basically, you know, right now we're in the middle of a fundraising drive, and we'll see how that comes out in early November. We'll have a sense of where BAI stands, and then take up the budget matter as agreed to by the PNB last month and take the situation from there.
What is that noise?
That's somebody driving in a car.
From manager, Dan.
What?
Excuse me?
He, Don Rojas's resignation and...
Yes, as you all are aware, several months ago, Don Rojas tendered his resignation effective at the end of this year. The General Manager Search Committee, I know, is still in formation and in process at the local station board, and hopefully that will be resolved shortly. But obviously, in the absence of the General Manager Search Committee being formed, we are looking at filling a vacant position in the upcoming months, and that process is underway.
And how is that being done, Dan? I'm just wondering who's involved and, you know, what is the process?
Well, classically in these kind of situations, the executive director appoints an interim manager, which is obviously the situation at some of our stations presently. KPFA has an interim general manager, and as does WPFW. So we would appoint an interim candidate. I think the process sometimes lasts a little longer than we all would like, but nevertheless, that is the process. And therefore, we might have to be prepared to have an interim candidate. I think an interim person filling that position for anywhere from 6 to 9 months to a year. And that's what we're looking at right now.
Dan?
This
is Samuel Kateka.
Hi, Sam.
Hello. Why is it taking longer than we'd like? You're saying 9 months to a year. Is there a plan in place to have somebody go from interim to actually being hired full-time? And if that plan isn't implemented, when can the PNB or the future PNB expect to see a plan from the national office?
And that's a good question. It's a difficult situation depending on the stations and their processes around the General Manager Search Committee, and it can take some time because of some of the internal issues at each of the LSBs, also putting out ads, getting respondents back in, discussing getting interview times set up. So our processes at each of the stations has varied, going as long as a year in one case at WBAI several years ago. In other cases, it may be a little bit shorter, but invariably you're talking about a rather lengthy process. And that is something that we need to work on, I think, with the National Office, the Local Station Board, the PNB, to see if there's a way that we can try to move these processes forward a little bit quicker in the best interest of the station and the foundation.
I guess I wasn't clear. What I was trying to ask is there currently a plan at National Office to remove the title of interim and move that process forward? Is there a plan in place in terms of documentation?
No.
Okay. And then when can the PNB, this PNB or a future PNB, expect documentation in which National Office creates a plan to remove this interim to a permanent or a more permanent position than interim? Because in all fairness to KPFA and WPFW, that has been longer than 12 months, those titles. Isn't that true?
5 years.
So when you say 9 months to 12 months, I'm not confident in that process, especially when you're saying there isn't any documentation in place.
I'm not the master of this process, and so it's hard for me to give you a response because it obviously involves the local station boards composed of 24 members each, as you know, and it's often difficult for whatever reasons to get people coming to gather at the LSBs to work and figure out their local processes, and often there's a lot of competition amongst different sectors in the community, or different constituencies of Pacifica, whether it's paid, unpaid staff, listener groups, delegates, management, around the compositions of those committees, and that often takes quite a bit of time. So it's very hard for this office in particular, I think, to exercise any real authority rather than trying to be as supportive as we can of each of the LSBs to see what we can do to help them fulfill their bylaws requirements.
Well, documentation
I don't have
would
right
further
now.
That process, Dan. We need some documentation and a plan. And I think that national office needs to take that lead before LSBs or even the PNB can take that lead. I think national office needs to take that lead.
Hardy?
Excuse
me, I had a question before. Is Dan finished?
A moment. Dan, I'd like you to, all right, you are at the end of your report on this item. Am I correct on the WBAI mediation on the GM and the appointment of the interim GM?
Yes.
And now we can take questions.
Miguel.
May I please, Alice?
And Dave.
Alice, Dave, Miguel.
Roger.
Roger. All right.
Hi, it's Alice.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Again, my question is, I think it's great that the Arbitrons show the WBAI. There's sound in the background. Could somebody please mute?
Thank you.
That BAI's listenership is up. My question is, are there also indications that membership is up in this last third of the year?
I was just looking at the membership numbers today at BAI, and the membership of BAI today is about 20,000 members. I don't know off the top of my head the historical data on that, Alice.
Yeah, a year ago it was somewhat over 20,000. I would hope that it would have improved by now. So listenership in terms of increasing Arbitrons apparently doesn't mean increase in members. Too bad. Thank you.
Okay.
This is Teresa.
Just a point on that. My understanding is that there's a lag throughout community radio and public radio between when somebody starts listening and when they become a member, so it probably wouldn't show up. I'm curious whether that 40% number is reference to last year's fall number. Is that the reference, Dan?
Actually, I was just looking at the previous reporting period,
right.
And that you're right. I think that we would want to look at period to period, but we don't have summer of 2003
okay.
to look
okay.
at. But just over the previous reporting period,
okay,
I was referring to, which is
differences over any
spring.
Reporting period in total listenership, so you can get variability there. But the question I really wanted to ask was. What is the process? You mentioned a job announcement for the general manager position. I believe that when KPFK went through it, there was a kind of boilerplate that had been left over from the prior administration that got advertised. And then I believe there was also, although I'm trying to find this out, I'm trying to get this information for you because we're supposed to do that. But the search committee came up with a second job description, which was considerably more expansive. So I'm wondering, in terms of the job description, first, can we, the PNB, get sent the job description as soon as it's formed? And second, will it be formed by the national office or will it be formed by the search committee?
Well, right now, Dave, we have standard job descriptions. You're talking about for the general manager position?
Right. So when you post something to say, we want somebody to do this, will that description be that standard job description?
Yeah, they're a uniform standard job description. That's correct. And I can send it out to the PNB right away.
Thanks.
Hey, Marty, am I on the stack? This is Wendy.
Okay, I'll put you on the stack, Wendy. Go ahead. Just a minute. Miguel.
Okay. In the case of Arbitron for WBAI, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I heard was that there's only... Hello?
Go on.
You're on.
Okay. That in the case of WBAI, the increase was basically only for two shows, which is Gary Noel and Democracy Now! And in fact, the rest of the show on WBAI has a declining in the listenership. Is that the case?
I don't know the specific answer to that question, Miguel, about the specific increase in audience for particular shows, but what I can tell you is that over, if we look at the Arbitron estimates of WBAI's audience over a 5-10-year period, which I think we have to look at more on the trends, the trend for the WBAI listenership is up. in recent years. I don't know the exact figure off the top of my head, but I did provide some Arbitrons to I think you should have gotten the BAI Arbitrons at the last board meeting, and there's the historic data in that, in those documents.
But what I'm trying to say is that basically what we are getting is a report based in two shows, not in the rest or other programs or the other shows, which basically has a decline in the listenership. And that was